Gemini season is every season. My twin arrives fashionably late at the last second, on the backwards count of Divine Time's stopwatch, and slow rolls my street, windows down and music loud. She pulls up in my driveway in a captain's hat and barrels through my door, says, "I don't have a boat, but I'm gonna drive this time," has arms that reach past the sky, wears her own illuminated constellation over appled cheeks, speckling skin like radioactive freckles. The moon shows up, croons, "I want to play too, come show me," pulls us back out into the mysterious night. Gemini and I slink around downtown in the tightest white dress I have, covered in a black lace kimono down to my ankles, lets the skin peek out in all the right places. Carnelian bracelets and a gold lavalier to my navel, stares and says, "I don't even care anymore. The spectacle on display was always for me, but you're welcome to partake of this sacred energy, and I'm quite ravenous tonight for curiosity." I take her home, eager to continue our evening. I find her intriguing, beguiling, bewildering, pour her into a coupe like an elixir. Rosemary and mint infused, down her cocktail spell, bake her a chocolate cake of poetry, but eat it all in the bathtub, licking every last syllable from my fingers. Tulips and hydrangea I bought myself sit in a vase behind me. They sing to me, write me love letters with their petals, talk some big words like the ones I wrote years ago when I saw a woman in black lace eating chocolate cake so late in a cafe, absorbed and engrossed in a book. Confidence emanating from every pore. A blush tulip, much taller than the rest, proud in her prowess, whispers, "Your wish came true." She is the stars and the moon and the grand finale fireworks of truth, Gemini. She is you. Now, let's see what the two of you can do.
You're listening to Ink Speak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode as we move into summer and usher in my favorite season, Gemini season. I've recently celebrated two birthdays, one for my podcast and one for myself. I just turned a lovely 36 last week and the podcast turned one in May. So I thought I would combine both birthdays into one episode and give you a little rundown of my birthday, share a little bit about your 30s and why they're so fucking cool and way better than your 20s, and share some thoughts on what I've learned from my first year of podcasting. And to finally share some passages from my new poetry book, now that it's out in the world, which blows my mind that I'm on book two with a third and fourth and godlike, I don't know, six more in the works. And to give some details about the future of this podcast. Yes, I know. What? But seriously, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I am, but just listen to the whole thing. As many of you already know, I am a Gemini, and I just celebrated my birthday on June 2nd. And aging is weird. I feel like the older I get, the less I remember my age, maybe because the less it matters, but also I'm like, wait, how old am I? And I've said that on a few accounts and had to double check myself counting back from my birth year. And I know I'm not the only one who's done that, right? Like, please tell me I'm not the only one who's done that. And this year was very different than past years because honestly, I wasn't really feeling it this year. Maybe because I'm getting older, and while I'm not one of those people that feels ashamed of her age, by no means at all, I'm a proud and wise 36. But now, and I just think that every year that I'm here is a blessing, and as cliche as that seems, but it's true. Aging is a privilege and a blessing, but I just mean that I wasn't all that excited to celebrate, I guess. Last year, I was in Chicago with some girlfriends, and I had tickets to the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, and years prior to that, I've usually done something fun with friends to celebrate, but that's the thing. It's always been me planning my birthday get-togethers. I've never had a surprise party, and I've always dreamed about that. Maybe one day. But this year, I was just not really feeling it. The whole trying to organize a group of my friends for dinner or something fun. Honestly, it sounds kind of weird in theory now. I just didn't want to plan my own birthday shit, you know? And I told everyone I didn't want any gifts this year other than words. And people showered me with kindness, with like the most beautiful words. And then there was Jake. Oh, y'all. Then there was Jake. I wanted to share what this man did for me this year because I cried a few times that day. I felt so special and loved and important. So it was all a surprise. He didn't tell me what he had planned. And that's my thing. I love that. That whole not knowing thing beyond knowing that it's going to be something good. So I show up to his house and his car isn't there. And I'm like really confused. And then I see a balloon and a card sitting on a chair on his porch. And I open the card, which was hilarious. And it leads to my next clue. So I let myself into his house with my key and then go into his room and he's got it all decorated. And there's a huge box, like a flat screen TV box wrapped in birthday paper. And his laptop is sitting on his bed with a note to open the box and then watch the video after. And the box had a whole bunch of thoughtful goodies in it, which was so sweet. But I loved that he made me a video clue. And that led to the next spot that I was supposed to go to, which was our park bench. And by our park bench, I mean it's a very special bench where we had one of our first dates. Not our first date, but very early on. So I show up and I'm hunting all around this bench for the clue because there's nothing there. But I finally find it hidden in a bush and I open it up. And then that leads me to the next spot, which leads me to the next spot, and so on and so forth. All of the locations he chose were significant in some way, including where we did have our very first date. And along the way, there were sweet notes and surprises. And with each stop, I could tell just how much time and effort went into stringing this thing together. And I've done things like this before for him, scavenger hunts and mysterious boxes showing up with clues and audio files suddenly materializing. And I like to give puzzle gifts a little out of the box, but always surprising and fun and always involving a very high level of creativity for me. But I'd never had anyone do something like that for me before, to be on the receiving end, to put that much time and creativity into a gift that is less of a thing and more of an experience. And I absolutely love that. So at the end, I ride the elevator up to the top of a very special parking garage, and I come around the corner and I see him over by the railing, and we just hug for like 20 minutes. And I start tearing up and he starts tearing up. And it was such a beautiful and special moment that I will never forget that whole day, which wasn't even over. So after that, we went to the farmer's market for a little bit and then to his house for birthday cake. And later that evening, I put on this really fun silver and white sequin dress I found the day before at Goodwill for $5. And I took a chance on it without even trying it on because for $5, how can you not? So I had this really fun birthday outfit. And those are honestly some of my favorite things to wear. The thrifted things or the amazing finds for super cheap. I love being able to tell people, oh, I found this dress for like $8 at my local thrift store. Or rescuing an old vintage dress and giving it new life. So I had this gorgeous dress and a white bell sleeve wrap paired with my new rhinestone booties because your girl loves to fucking sparkle. And we went to Calliope, which is a Middle Eastern restaurant in Chattanooga that I highly recommend if you haven't ever tried it or if you're visiting from out of town. Think olives and pita and couscous and an incredible flavor profile that lends itself really well to poetry. A feast for the senses for sure. And my favorite gift I got that day from Jake was another video he made me of him saying like 5 minutes worth of some very heartfelt words that made me ugly cry in a beautiful moment. And I said I wanted words this year, and damn, this man delivered, because, you know, I feel like I give so much of my words, so much of myself, because that's a major way that I express my love, to the people that I love. And it's no secret that words of affirmation top the list of my love languages, both to give and receive, because it's how I can most easily and articulately express myself. And I felt so seen and known and loved watching that video. So pro tip, if you want an idea for a birthday gift for someone you love, be it a friend, a lover, a family member, whatever, Words are always a crowd pleaser because they are immortal and straight from the heart. And recording them, either voice noting or videoing, adds an extra layer of love on top. To be able to hear and experience their voice and or see them, see their face, that's priceless. And Jake has so many things already that I've given him where he can hear my words in my own voice. So to have something of the same from him was very touching and special. If you have people like that in your life, and God, I hope you do, please hold on to them, because those people are rare. Very, very rare. And the other birthday I've recently celebrated, the other milestone I've hit, is 1 year of podcasting. So 1 year ago, I fired up this ink machine and started speaking my writing into a mic, and I am really proud to have made it to a whole year. Because I heard recently on a podcast that sent me down a Google rabbit hole that 90% of podcasts don't publish more than 3 or 4 episodes. So there's like 1.8 million podcasts quit before they even get started. And of the 200,000 or so left, 90% of those quit after 20 episodes. And here I am rounding out year one of the podcast with my 30th episode. And it's been a long haul already, and I'm only just getting started. That's the exciting part for me. Longevity is in my bones, and also apparently in my astrology. But I forget what it was specifically in my chart when I had a reading, but it was some aspect or planet, some energy that signaled I was a late bloomer. And I already know that to be true about myself. But I found it so interesting that majority of people that start a podcast don't make it past 4 episodes. And this actually has a term. I think Urban Dictionary calls this pod fade, when someone stops releasing new content without a final show or an announcement, and they basically quit too soon. They post and ghost and don't even make it to a year, and they give up really before they've begun. I think to be successful at podcasting, which is a marathon, not a sprint, you have to bring some big Capricorn energy to it. And if you don't know much about the traits of the different zodiac signs, Capricorn is known for being the workhorse of the zodiac, the big CEO energy, the go-getter and the goal setter. These people are grinding it out, and they're in it for the long haul. When they commit to something, they are all in. And guess what? I have a lot of Capricorn in my chart. Cap, Moon, and I think Capricorn Stellium, it's there. I bring that energy like into my relationships, into my friendships. I am loyal as fuck, and I bring it to my passion projects. So when it comes to podcasting, I think this is what it requires, which can be so hard to do in our culture of instant gratification and wanting to go viral, wanting that instant success and that immediate dopamine hit of a comment or a like on a post on something you just put out into the world. But podcasting is not like that at all. Whereas YouTube and Instagram can see this kind of instant growth, you know, you post the right thing at the right time and the right pair of eyes finds it and then shares it and boom, you're like rocketing to the moon on that kind of momentum. And maybe it keeps going, or maybe it fizzles out, but podcasting is a slow burn, and boy, do I know about slow burns. I know how to lay an egg and just wait. I will sit on that egg until, like, however long it takes for it to hatch, because what I've noticed about my life is that I am this late bloomer. I didn't get my license until 18. I didn't have my first boyfriend until college, dated my ex for 7 years before getting engaged. Honestly, not a bad idea at all to wait. Check out next week's episode on divorce, though, if you want to hear the why on all of that. And lastly, I waited until about 32, 33 to finally choose myself and my dreams and start my best journey yet. All of this. Escaped out the trap door of that marriage, said sayonara, I'm going to go be over here working on my poetry and publishing books and getting on stages. I don't need no mans. I got my dreams. And then all of this magic found me, including another man, but one that we all know by now is much more aligned for who I am. And I could probably do a whole podcast episode on that alone, but I don't know if anyone would want to hear me just gush about him for like 50 minutes straight, except maybe him and his amazing mama. So let's save that for a book. Wink, wink. And also, most recently, I finally applied for my passport at a robust 36. But full disclosure, I did have a passport prior, but it was in my maiden name. So not even my married name, my maiden name. And that tells you how old that was, how old that passport was. I legally changed my name summer of, I think it was 2022, and it's 2024 now, and I finally mailed it off like a couple days ago. I thought I might be going to Paris in August, so that lit a fire under my ass to go ahead and do it. But that's been temporarily shelved to a later date. But I am grateful for how it all played out, because otherwise, I might have kept procrastinating on that one. And this is all to say that I know how to play the wait and see game. I've done it with my many prior platforms, with blogging, with my old businesses. Eventually, things started taking off when I stuck with it long enough before I eventually burned them all to the ground to start over. But this is what you have to do sometimes, not just with podcasting, but with anything in life worth having. It takes time. Before we can truly see the fruits of our labor, be it a career or a passion project, health or weight loss goals, or just personal development overall, it requires longevity and commitment. I think it's the universe testing us a lot, asking us, how committed are you? How much do you believe in what you're trying to build, achieve, or attain? And I think most people quit too soon because they don't see the growth. They're too focused on metrics and analytics, and they're impatient as fuck. And I have struggled with all of that. And I think that's the number one reason, though. Behind that, I think people don't realize how much work goes into podcasting. Like, they just start it up because they think it'll be fun and easy, but how much time and energy is required. That's a big misconception, that it's easy to do this podcasting, but it's not. Just me trying to figure out the tech alone in the beginning was so frustrating. It's not like blogging or Instagram or TikTok, where you write something or you have an image ready to go and then you just hit publish and then it's live and wild in the world. It is so much more involved than that. Trying to find the right programs that would make it simple for me to put together audio clips, the right equipment to have good sound quality, because that was very important to me, the time required to do all of it, because it's just me here, y'all. Like, I say this in my outro, I am a one-woman show from my kitchen table. I write my content out, or at least have an idea of what I want to talk about, and then I record it, I produce it, I market it all myself, and that takes a significant amount of time. You know, I work a corporate day job. Like, none of this writing, podcasting is my full-time job. Yet. One day. And I'm also a single parent. I have a boyfriend. I'm in a relationship. I have a ton of other hobbies and passion projects. I publish books and run a Substack. I attend open mics. I create Instagram content. I do Super Bloom stuff with retreats and workshops. I travel. I'm training for a half marathon, so I like to run and do yoga. And I'm working on some other side hustles in the background that I'm going to keep hush-hush until I know what's coming. And honestly, hearing myself say all of this, I'm like, wow, I'm actually doing a lot here. Why am I always so hard on myself? Because sometimes I feel like I'm still not doing enough. Definitely can see my conditioning here from American culture, with such an emphasis on the doing, doing, doing. But it's all good. I get so much enjoyment out of where I choose to invest my time. And with all of that, I still make time to podcast, because it's a priority. It's important to me. I think that's what makes you either a goat climbing to the top of the mountain, or I don't know, one that only makes it halfway and then falls off the side of a cliff. Not a great analogy, but you get it. And in the beginning, there was a learning curve. I knew absolutely nothing when I started, and I recorded my very first episode from the voice notes app on my phone and from my bedroom closet. Then I had to figure out how to turn that first audio clip into a whole episode, had to record an intro, an outro, had to source the right music that I could legally use, figure out how to upload it to the 500 different streaming platforms that are out there, and then comes all of the marketing pieces, which I just suck at naturally. That is not my wheelhouse. Marketing myself, my books, any of that. Like, I need help there. Designing a logo, that's another thing. Like, getting the word out there, that's all part of it. And people have a lot of misconceptions about podcasting. They think it's easy and you just jump on a mic, press record, and somehow that's how it happens and it puts itself together. I don't know. And that suddenly it'll be instantly profitable. And that's just not the case. But that's also not why I decided to jump on this platform a year ago. I don't do this to get rich. Would it be great if I make money one day from podcasting? Absolutely. But I think the reason why I'm still here a year later, and that large percentage of people quit a few episodes in, that they're not here because of what I personally get out of it. Fulfillment, joy, sharing my voice, creativity, and messages in the hopes that I can reach someone who needs to hear that. Podcasting for me is just another way I can serve and help people, connect with people, build community. So with all of that being said, I think it can be also applied to life in general. That's really what I've learned here from not just podcasting, but from the 36 years I've been alive on this earth, with hopefully decades and decades more to come. It's that growth of any kind takes time. If you're willing to put in the work and stick with it, whatever it is for you, eventually, no matter how long it takes, you will see a return on your investment. Now, will that return be a six-figure income? God, I hope so. Maybe one day for both of us. But success is measured in way more than just numbers, analytics, and dollar signs. I think a great return on investment, probably the greatest return on investment, is impact, is hearing from someone else that something I said on the podcast or a poem that I wrote, or even something I shared on my numerous story slides on Instagram, that it resonated with them. And here's the kicker. The best return on investment is helping someone else, helping them in some way that they took something from that and that I contributed to bettering someone else's life in some way. And that's connection. That's building trust and community just by being me, just by being ourselves. What an incredible definition of success, right? To be able to touch someone's heart or open their mind or just be like, hey, I know you're struggling with this and I know you feel alone, but listen to this story and maybe it'll help you feel a little bit less alone. So let's break this down. Now that I'm talking this out and I'm like, oh, I've learned this from podcasting, but also like this feels like a life lesson and now I'm deep into my 30s. So let's just make a list. Podcasting lessons and things I've learned in my 30s. So from podcasting, I've learned, hey, this shit is hard, way harder than it looks. But I also feel a sense of pride now in coming to this with zero knowledge. And I just figured that shit out over time. So whereas YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, many people get that gratification from seeing their followers, subscribers, or number of likes and views grow. A very external sense of gratification. And hey, nothing wrong with a little bit of that. We all need a little validation sometimes. It feels good to be acknowledged. But with this, I get gratification from seeing my own personal growth. That I can look back at that first episode I recorded and the way in which I did it in my closet, how I totally muddled through it with sourcing everything I'd need to put it together and how long it took me to figure certain things out to now, to the programs and equipment I've learned to use, to how to more quickly produce and upload an episode, to adding music and splicing clips together and doing creative things with audio clips. Podcasting has taught me to just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. That's it. Bottom line, say what you want to say and put it out there. I'm not always consistent with showing up. But that's just me, my energy. But when I do show up to say the things, I know they're coming from a place of meaning and purpose because I feel this urge to say whatever it is and then put it out there. Podcasting has helped me get way more comfortable doing that, being heard, being, quote, seen, because I don't do the video podcasting. Maybe one day. We're still working on mastering this. One thing at a time here. But I mean, it's asked some hard questions of me. Like, do I really want to put this out there? Say this? Share this? And as I've done more and more of that, I've gotten more comfortable. I've always said I am an open book, though. I love telling my stories and sharing where I've been. And thing is, while I've never been one to shy away from writing about my struggles and being vulnerable on the page, it's much harder to do that on a mic for some reason. Even harder in person on a stage. But I've found, and am coming to find, I just really, truly, actually enjoy that. The performance piece involved with storytelling in front of people. Podcasting has really opened me up to this next phase of my life and is helping me get to the next level with getting comfortable talking and speaking, using and hearing my voice, like my actual voice, which honestly I have grown to love. Because you know how a lot of people will hear themselves recorded on a voicemail or on an Instagram story or something, and then they play it back and they're like, that's what I sound like? And for me, for the very first time I ever recorded an Instagram story, like when that feature had just been released, it was brand new, and I was talking, I had that same reaction. I was like, wait, what? Really? I sound so weird. But also, I think it's a little bit like when you see yourself in pictures versus in the mirror. And I look one way in a photo or a video, and I perceive myself entirely differently in the mirror. And honestly, I have always felt, and I've written about this, that I don't believe in cameras because of how wildly different my perception is. I'm more inclined to believe the mirror than a screen. And also, I kind of think I just look way better in person. But I think it's the same with the voice. Sounds one way recorded and another when you're just hearing yourself talk in real life. But actually, I've had several people tell me my voice is really soothing or that I sound like an NPR host. So who knows? Maybe I have a future in voice acting or something, because I think that is just so much fun, recording shit on a mic, and would even be even more so if you got to do like an animated movie or something. Can you imagine if I got to be turned into a Pixar character one day somehow? How fun and magical would that be? Hey, universe, are you taking notes? Because I am. All of this, though, it ties into being in your 30s, I think, because we learn so much in our 20s through our many experiences and our many inevitable fuck-ups and mishaps. But I think our 30s bring a kind of growth that is exponential. And it's when we take those lessons and we're able to really integrate them that makes the magic. Because we have a more accurate portrait of who we are, what makes us tick, and we also do so much unlearning in our 30s. My 30s have taught me to become way more comfortable taking risks, to not be afraid to fail, to just take action, because done is always better than perfect. And we all know perfect is like chasing the sun. The finish line there just doesn't exist. Things will never be perfect, but we have to at least start. Be willing to put something out there, like with this podcast and my Instagram, with my Substack. I don't have a big audience. I don't have a big following. It's taken a year just to garner 11 reviews as of today on Spotify, but still won't deter me. I honestly don't even look at my downloads or metrics the same way I don't look at my likes. If I love what I do, why does it matter? Because I know this is a slow burn and a slow build to gain momentum. So don't let any of those fears and doubts you may have hold you back from trying. Because if you don't put the thing out there, you don't say the thing, make the thing, do the thing, the rest of us lose out on you. We won't ever get the chance to receive your personal gifts, the ones only you can give and bring to this world. What a loss. And it's hard to escape our own thoughts at times. I've had to struggle with that in the past, and sometimes I still struggle getting in my head about it with this. I try not to even look at the numbers. It's the whole comparison shit again, right? There's a negativity bias there that we tend to hang on to focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. But for me, it just takes that one person in whatever I'm doing creatively, one person who reaches out and says, hey, I read this poem that you wrote and it really helped me through a low moment. Or after I've read something aloud on stage and someone comes up to me after and shakes my hand and goes, wow, that was so great. You've really inspired me. Or something like that. Just one person who slides into my DMs to tell me they listened to my latest episode and offer up a comment or some constructive feedback. That's what's going to get me going again. Like, yeah, I can do this. Because that's the thing in life. We absolutely have to believe in ourselves, but having someone else believe in you too makes you that much stronger. I like to think of it like Tinkerbell, that part in Peter Pan where she's dying and people have to clap their hands and say, I believe in fairies, to bring her back. I've actually got a poem I wrote on this somewhere. I'm going to have to find it. But that's me, really. I think that's a lot of us. We need other people in our corner cheering us on because we're going to have low moments. We're human. This is why I love when I have kind words of encouragement from others that I can look back on. We're going to have periods where we seriously doubt ourselves. And this is why I fucking hate likes and views. Not the fact that metrics exist, but the fact that they are front and center public. Like, I can't even hide that shit from my own profile, and I don't get it. Because it can be a hindrance. When you're constantly met with numbers, when you don't want to focus on that. You want to put your energy into the why of what you're doing. Not follower counts, likes, views. All of those can pull focus, and suddenly it's like you don't feel good about what you're doing anymore. But when you have a community, however small it is, when you have those handful of ride-or-die people you know are supporting you, and they send you little encouraging things, That's imperative to growth. And this goes far beyond social media or podcasting. This is just a non-negotiable for life. You have to have people that support your growth, no matter whether you're in grinding it out in grad school, or you're trying out for the Olympics, or maybe you're contemplating a divorce. My 30s have taught me how to be that person for myself, how to believe in myself, why we can't attach our emotions to metrics or social media or outside validation. And it's helped me to shift and find that internal motivation, but also to ask for that support, to learn how to ask and for that encouragement, like when I need it. And that's why community is so important, and being just honest and authentic and vulnerable. I think that the older we get, the easier that becomes. The whole not giving a fuck, the art of not giving a fuck, or at least not giving as many fucks about, other people's judgments, opinions, what the world thinks of us or our art or whatever. As we age, we're much more able to embrace our authenticity and also own up to our pain, to turn that into purpose. In our 20s, we're typically just riding the hot mess express and probably drinking too much, at least I was. But towards my mid to late 20s, I really started integrating those lessons. But it was in my 30s that have blown the doors wide open on everything, brought new opportunities, new perspective, so much learning and growth, and lots of confidence to fuel all of these things I want to do. Your 30s are infinitely powerful. Honestly, aging is infinitely powerful because of how much we keep learning. I'm able to love bigger, harder, more because I've learned what I don't want and how I need to be loved. My 30s have shown me so much about myself that I didn't know before, that I previously didn't give myself the chance to even discover because I was too codependent and wrapped up in someone else. I didn't know what my own beliefs were. And a whole lot of outside noise. I have this belief now that aging can get to be fun because I've seen what it does. It helps me become. It helps us further step into ourselves, learn about ourselves, give less fucks about what anyone else thinks, and to step beyond the boundaries of fear that kept us locked into some small version of ourselves. There is something so true about being 30, well, mid-30s, flirty and thriving rather than 20s and whining, and I think that will continue. 40 and arriving, 50 and shining, 60, 70, 80 and redefining, feeling fucking fabulous and divine at 90. I may not have felt very celebratory for my birthday this year, but after talking all of this out, the magic of speaking, I feel like I have a lot to look forward to. We all do. We have so much good shit coming that we don't even know. Because we want the instant pudding results, the immediacy of salty French fry gratification, the Amazon Prime hit of dopamine delivered exactly when we want it. But none of this works like that. Love certainly doesn't, and I'm so glad I've gone through everything I've had to in order to reach a magical kind of love, a more expansive definition, but it's taken a lifetime of studying and practicing patience. Okay, we have already made this episode longer than I thought it would be, so let me go ahead and make some last minute announcements before my final closing thoughts. And one of those is that I will be heading to Florida next week, my happy place, to join Jake's family on a beach trip. But I'm taking a couple days beforehand for my solo leg of that journey and one stopover on my way home somewhere else. And I'm so excited about both of those trips, like where I'm going, what I'm gonna do, and where I'm staying. So those will probably be on future episodes at some point. But because I know I have travel on the horizon, and also because I'm about to hit 30 episodes, I'm going to end this podcast for a little bit. I've decided it's best for me to do seasons, so I'm most definitely not going anywhere, but I will be taking a hiatus, taking the summer off to remove some of that pressure to continually create, so there won't be any new content over the summer. And I will return sometime in the fall. No definitive date yet when I will return. So if you want to stay up on all of that or just connect with me in another way, I'm always active on Instagram at Mav Malone. And I share so much more on there, especially of my travels, my outfits. I'm doing some really fun things with content creation this summer. And you can also subscribe to my Substack, Junk Drawer. That's at maverickmalone.substack.com. or just click the link in my bio on Instagram and it'll show you all the places that you can find me. And for the next season, I definitely want to have more guests on the show. So if you're doing cool shit with your life, really, aren't we all in some way, right? And you think you or someone you know would be a great fit for InkSpeak, please reach out to me either on Instagram. I'm not one of those people that will ignore your DM. I check all of my DMs. Or email me at maverickl.malone@gmail.com and let's chat. I am definitely putting out feelers for that and always looking for people to connect with and talk about all kinds of things, especially if you are someone who is at a place where you can speak on your personal journey, its challenges, its lessons, what spice you're bringing to the weird flavor of life. The weirder, the better. The world is in dire need of more of those stories. And I want to expand this platform and start bringing more of those stories on and amplify them. So whether you're feeling 22 or you're 33 or 48 or 72, embrace it as much as you can and collect those lessons along the way. Then turn them into something amazing and come talk to me, hopefully. If you're going through the motions and trudging through all of the muck and feeling stuck in the in-between, just know we can't ever see the forest for the trees if we're too hyper-fixated on everything that's not working instead of what is and what could be. It's that what-if game again. This whole episode is just to remind you, don't quit before you're even 10 steps in. Walk through the forest with your mason jar full of fireflies and don't give two fucks about the hundreds of others up ahead with their Energizer flashlights. You're doing this shit different. Which brings me to one thing I want to share to finally close out this episode, since I've said this on here before that I wanted to read a passage from my latest book, Hope and Other Beautiful Things, and this is the opener of that book. I think it speaks to the message of this collection as a whole, but not only that, but what I personally have learned up until now and what I feel like I embody and am coming to embody and want to devote my life to offering, and that is hope. Of course, what else? So if you enjoy this, you can grab a copy of that book on Amazon or through the link in my bio if you want to support me directly rather than greedy corporate America. But either way, I'm glad my words have a way to you and have a chance to exist in this tangled web of a world. So thank you so much for listening. And if you got even the tiniest amount of something out of this episode, please consider leaving me a rating or review. Get me to at least 12. You know, let's see if we can make it to 12. If you hated it, tell me how much you hated it. Please, I would love to hear it. If you loved it, tell me something good. If you truly want to support my dreams, share it with a friend. Until next time, beautiful humans. If it doesn't go according to plan, I plan to burn. We agree to meet first thing. When Sunday slips into Monday, before tomorrow has a chance to toil us away or tear us to shreds, to convene before bed and discuss, and plus, I have a lot to contend with. You know, research, hypotheses, thesis, and all that. I hear the screen door slamming, and there I am on the enclosed back porch, the artificial sacrificial light of a laptop with 35% battery already aglow on the edge, small feet padding behind. I kiss tiny fingers. Hands. Someone is up late because of the word need. I think of the many uppercase reasons I do what I do. Why all caps songs and I meet so late at night in dreams. The future by the name of a flower has a number one chart topping single on that playlist. I sing it often. Both of us asked for change this time. More than loose. More than Lincoln. More than more. I follow more into the woods behind my house. People deemed much more important than I are there. Already writing words into the night, letting those paragraphs guide us like solar-powered camping lanterns, maglite flashlights with 4D batteries, the latest iPhone model that can throw its glow 10 feet in front of you. Then there is me. Trailing behind is the blind learning to be blind, with a handful of fireflies in a mason jar hung from the notch on a stick, protects it, held, carefully out in front, stepping cautiously 1, 2, 3 steps, always disappearing. And still I go, trudging into the forest with everyone else, and when they get too far ahead, their shine much louder than mine, fed by the right kind of importance, fueled by the right kind of eyes. I will keep. The difference between a flashlight and a firefly is one is born of earth. Even when it dies, it is compelled to return. There is an insatiable hunger for keeping, despite the hurt, despite the burn, despite the blind. Some of us are flashlights. Some of us are fireflies. And so I will keep. The light will remain. I will gather more fireflies. I will make a fire from the night and send smoke signals to the sky. If I am destined to die on some hill, then let it be the one finally found after they smoke me out of that forest on fire from the blaze of my own words. Let it be for change. Let it be for fireflies. Let it be for her.
Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media or leave a rating and review. Reviews will help this pod to be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open, and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, and podcast episode releases, please head to my website, maverickmalone.com, and sign up for my email newsletter. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.